Yo, so what's up, man? We're here, man.
We're here.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you taking out some time to come hang out, bro.
Absolutely.
So, Lanier Cole Photography.
Yes, sir.
We go back freaking like years. Like two faux flats on a 6-4, right?
Hey, like real light, green light.
All right.
Real light, green light.
So, man, like, here, we'll just start with like a brief introduction. Like, let people know about yourself.
Oh, all right. So, my name is Lanier Curtis Cole. I'm 31, been in Kenosha probably since 2002. So long time now, you know what I mean? Mobile manager there at Best Buy. I'm a photographer. Outside of that, newly engaged, have a stepson, beautiful fiance, her name is Noelle. And that's about it, man. I'm just trying to live life, you know, do things how I'm supposed to, you know? That's about it. You know, I'm a very simple dude, man. I'm not a hard person at all, man. I just do what I need to do and respect people in the process.
Oh, I feel that, bro. And I think that's why, you know, we get along so well and, mm-hmm. you know, we've been friends for so long just because, you know, we both kind of are the same way, you know? Like, we're people, mm-hmm. but then also, like, we're just, you know, we get it done. You know, and facts. we don't necessarily, well, we play games, but we don't necessarily play games.
Exactly.
Right.
Only game I play is on PlayStation.
So, man, like I'm just glad that you came through. We've talked about doing this before in the past. Absolutely. And stuff. Like, yeah. I've been like super, super crazy busy. I know you've been super busy too with Absolutely. The engagement. Again, like, congratulations on
Thank
that.
You. Thank you.
Like, my guy's getting married, bro. Like, yeah. if people knew, like, how far, even, like, we both have come.
Yeah.
But even, like, you know, just to see, like, you don't understand, like, how happy I was for you when you hit me up and you were like, yo, man.
It's time.
I'm about to pop the question. I'm like, yo, my guy Lanier. Bro. Like, people don't know. Like, we go way back to, like, when it was... It was rough. We were just trying to make it, trying to figure out like where the next meal's coming from,
or like how I'm gonna put gas in the whip. You know what I mean? Like, man, I'm proud of you too, bro. Like, you know, I see everything that you're doing. I'm probably one of your biggest fans, just off the strength of where we do come from, and I know the story. You know what I mean? Like, people know Corey Elijah, but then there's people who know Corey. Watch, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
There's a difference, and I understood the struggle, understood where you came from, and bro, nothing but a salute to you, my man. Like, I see it, I'm a fan, I'm here to support, so we can get further into other things, but man, I just want to let you know that I'm so proud of you, bro, everything that you're doing, and bro, I know we didn't imagine this 15 years ago that we'll be sitting right here doing this right now.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, we were on like a different trajectory, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, even not like we could go back further than 15 years, but like,
yeah.
Well, we could even say like 10 years ago, you know, mm-hmm. around this time, like when we were like budding young men, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Trying to figure stuff out, trying to navigate Kenosha, trying to like have control of like what we actually want to do, not necessarily wanting to, you know, live the normal life that we did, you know? Yeah. And at a certain point you could say we settled, not even necessarily settled, but fell into like the normal life for a mm-hmm. certain point. But we always kind of knew and like,
exactly.
like we kept it with us. Like, we were always going to do like what we always wanted to do. And like, initially it started like making music and like throwing parties and stuff. So,
right.
I mean, honestly, it started with us throwing parties.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah. We definitely threw some crazy, crazy, crazy parties, man. Definitely. But, you know, we had many conversations when we were younger, and we knew that, you know, we had some type of talent. Sorry.
No, he's over
there. That we had some type of talent that separated us from other people, but made people want it to be around us, if that makes any sense, man. I'm trying to make sense of it all. But, you know, I knew that, you know, we had a certain type of work ethic that a lot of people didn't have. And the reason why we had that work ethic, because we didn't have a choice, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, we went to work. We shout out to Who Hut. You know what I mean? We were grill warriors for a little bit. And, you know, we just had to do what we had to do to pay bills, man. And, you know, and look at the outcome. Hard work does pay off. Lanier Sr. always told me, son, hard work's build character. And I definitely see that. Like, you know, it's insane, man. I can't believe it. You know, and we're not even halfway done. Like, we're not even to the pinnacle yet. So, Lord knows what's going to be happening in the next few years. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, and it's just, like, continuing to build and build and build. And, like, some people could say, I suppose, like, for a period of time, people weren't building, but we were growing. We were building. We were learning new skills, new attributes to help get us to where we are right now, you know? Like, I mean, I've been creating digital content for a while, man, for a long time. And it's like, now I'm at the point where people are like, oh, man, like, how are you so good at what you do? It just kind of seemed like you stumbled into what you were doing. I thought you just did the live streams. And it's like, the live streams helped, was the boost that I needed for the work that I had already been putting in, you know?
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's like, overall, like yourself, me, we've been putting in groundwork, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we've both worked in corporate jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We've gained skills from these positions. And absolutely, we utilize them to help us with to move forward with our personal business, you know, you with your photography, mm-hmm, me with my digital content that I create, you know, mm-hmm, like being in sales positions help you learn how to talk to people.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And man, I just lost my train of thought. I was going to say something. Man, you were talking. I was so into what you were saying that I forgot. It had come back to me. But you're absolutely right about that, man. Oh, yeah. What I was going to say, man, I seen content on it. I seen a meme few weeks ago that says Samuel Jackson didn't get his first big hit until he was 42 years old. You get what I'm saying? So imagine how much groundwork he had to put in. He probably started, you know, being an actor at 19.
You know
what I mean? And he did not get his big shot until he was 42 years old.
Yeah. And I mean, he struggled too. Like, he went through his ups and downs. Like, he struggled literally. When he got Do the Right Thing, he was literally, like, still kind of struggling with, like, a drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, but that helped, like, all of his training beforehand. I believe he went to, Morehouse, not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he had all this training, and, like you said, 42 until he's 42, old. Ups and downs, having this training, dealing, knowing that, like, I'm a classically trained actor, but I cannot find work, and dealing with the ups and downs and the depression of that, and rolling into, you know, a depression, I imagine, and then even, like, you know, dabbling with drugs and, like, falling off, especially in the time, it's the mid late 80s, like, you know, like, cocaine is heavily prevalent,
absolutely
decimating tons of lives, and for him to be able to grasp that and still be able to, I mean, become the Samuel L. Jackson that we all know today.
Right.
It's like, there's always a chance. It's never too late.
When I seen that, and I Googled it just to make sure, because you can't believe everything you see on Facebook. It's like, hold on, this can't be true, right? Samuel L. had to wait till he is 42? Let me look into this. But now, think about, you know, the struggles that he had to go all the way until 42 years old and didn't give up, man. Think about it. So think about how much work you put in right now to get to where you're at. Now think about that, having it take 12 more years. Man, could you imagine? How does a person not just, like, you know what, give up? I'm just going to go do something that's going to put money in my pocket. I cannot rely on this. Where does a person find it in themselves to be like, I can't wait another 12 years. Like, I need to get money. I can't be sleeping on couches. I can't be doing this anymore. Where did he find that encouragement from to stay until he was 42 years old to get his big shot?
Right.
Like, that's crazy to me.
Right.
Maybe, you know what I mean?
And maybe it could have been the circumstance. Maybe if he didn't deal with the drug addiction, he wouldn't have been able to deal with being docile for so long. But being wrapped up in that, I imagine 12 years might have gone by really, really fast for him, man. You know, so like, it's like you never know what will really happen. And like, even with my situation, you know, like, and I hate that I only know me though, so it's hard not to use myself as an example. But it's like, when everything went down, I didn't know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, like with the George Floyd protests, I went out there because I wanted to be out there. Mm-hmm. I was live streaming because I wanted to live stream. Mm-hmm. I just happened to know someone that was tapped in, I suppose, with the network mm-hmm. that shared my post, that helped gain traction. That, I mean, I didn't expect it to happen, but the right. Time and a place and the proper scenario and then the groundwork that I laid beforehand, I happened to have contacts that happened to share the content that I had mm-hmm. that created the tumbleweed of now, boom. You know, if the next situation happens and I go out there and people already know where to go and then they all share it out and mm-hmm. it just, you know, and you never know what the situation is going to be, but as long as you're putting in the work, you're at least putting yourself in a position to be able to be there, you know?
Absolutely. It's sort of like how, like when I picked up a camera just to get my mind off of things from work. At that time, I was a manager at Buffalo Wild Wings, and I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, man, I need to do something that's gonna, you know, cause I'm going crazy. Oh, my whole life is consumed with work. I don't have, you know, I come home, I think about work. I'm at work, I'm thinking about work. I'm in my car, I'm thinking about work. I'm like, yo, I need to do something to take my mind off this, man, because I'm gonna have a heart attack. You get what I mean? Mm-hmm. So one day, you know what I mean? I'm looking at YouTube and like a photography just pop up on. I'm like, man, you know what I'm saying? I kind of do like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of cool. I'm gonna try that. And look, boom. You know what I'm saying? It just like, so I guess my point of saying that is just like, you know, all you did was step out your doorstep and just go, you know, video protest. And it fell in your lap, right? You get what I'm saying? It's sort of like me with photography. You know, one day I was just laying on the couch and I was just like, you know, I was watching YouTube and next, you know, this guy, Peter McKinnon, came on on the screen and was like, yo, this is how you use a camera. And I watched it and look what happened. You know what I mean? So I guess, you know, that's your calling, bro.
Yeah. And,
you know what I mean? Same with me.
And that's the cool thing about it. Like, you never know when it's going to happen.
Don't know.
But, I mean, it keeps life exciting, too, which is, you know, the cool thing about it as well, you know? And so, like, let's talk about your business a little bit, you know? Because, I mean, you kind of hit a milestone this year, man. You got, what, second place in Best of Wisconsin? Yeah, Best of Kenosha, right?
Best of Kenosha. Right. And, you know, Corey, I was super shocked about that, right? So, you know, I get a call from Lauren Sturge. I think she handles all of that, right? And she called me and she was like, yo, is this Lanier? I'm like, yeah, this is Lanier. Who is this? I'm thinking it's gonna be like one of those, we were trying to reach you for your extended warranty. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Everybody has an extended warranty, right?
right. You know what I mean? And she was like, yo, this is Lauren Sturge. I just want to tell you that, you know, you were voted number two for Kenosha Bass. I'm like, me? I'm like, wow, right? And then I looked into it, I was like, okay, so who's number one? And it was like, Sil with the Kiss, who's awesome. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So I'm like, yo, to even be even remotely close to that is a blessing to me. You know what I mean? So again, this was just a hobby. I didn't think that, you know, I don't even know how I even got put into that hat of getting voted for. Do you know how that works?
No. I believe someone has to nominate you, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, I don't know how the Best of Kenosha stuff works at all.
Me neither. So I'm like, I didn't even know that I was a part of this, right? My friend Angela Marshall was like, hey, yo, I voted for you for, you know, Best Photographer. I'm like, where'd you find that information? No one called me or anything, but you know, whatever. But you know, to win that was like a huge blessing, man. Like, you know, it really, at that point, I was like, okay, like the community really, you know, like my work and they like what I've been doing to me, because if they didn't, they wouldn't have voted for it. Right. And I was completely okay with not having the number one spot. I mean, that was just a blessing to even be considered in the best of anything.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
I mean, you're not top 50,
right.
You're not top 25, you're not top 10, you're in the top, you're top two, not even top five, top two.
That's what I'm saying, you know? That was huge to me, man. That was huge. I remember, you know, calling my girl and I was like, yo, babe, like, your boy definitely, you know, became top two. And she was like, oh my God, that's so awesome. And, you know, she made me a cake and whatever. It was insane, man. It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the power of, you know, just being out there and just kind of doing what you want to do and just staying true to yourself, mm-hmm. you know, and having goals and just sticking to them and not backing down from them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, dude, you know, at some point, you just have to believe in yourself, bro. You know, and I told myself time and time again, you know, if I didn't go through the things that I went through, there's no way I would be at the place that I'm at now, and I'm not even finished. You know what I mean? So it was an accomplishment that I'm hold true to for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, I imagine it's just a matter of time before you hit that number one spot. So
man, almost. Silver with a Kiss is fire, bro. Like I look at her work, and sometimes I just want to just be like, you know, I mean, I don't know her real name. Do you know the person's real name?
No, I don't.
Sometimes I just want to message her, just like, yo, how did you do this? How did you do that? Like, I pay attention to her work a lot. Mm. And, you know, I just figure, like, don't want to step on no toes. I feel like, you know, another photographer trying to reach out to another photographer to get their, you know, tips and tricks.
Yeah, but, I mean, see, but, like, see, you come from the rap world, right? Yeah. So, and I feel you, too, because, I mean, I come from there, too. So, mm-hmm. it's like, in rap, it's like, you don't necessarily, like, you don't ask people for their gems, right? Exactly. But what I've learned in, like, pretty much every other creative space, even mm-hmm. other genres of music, like, it's 100% all right to just be like, hey, how did you do this? Just because they show you how to do something, even if it's the exact same way that they do it, mm-hmm. generally it's going to be implemented in a different way because creatively, you know, creatively you're going to have a different vision, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And on the flip side of it, I mean, I feel like it's enough for everyone to eat when it comes to photography, right? A lot of my people that, you know, a lot of my clients come from is, you know, friends that I went to high school with, their parents or word of mouth, people at work. And so, I mean, I guess if I did ask for like some advice on some of the things that she does, I mean, she has a huge following, so I'm pretty sure that she would still be taken care of. Mm. So I might, you know what, I might take that back and just, you know, actually talk to her just to see what was up and see if there's anything that, you know, she sees in my work that I can improve in or something like that. That's all. It's just something about, you know, making myself better and talking to one of the GOATs and seeing how they're doing it. You know what I mean? Because you got to learn somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, I imagine that they learn from someone as well, you know? So. Yeah. You gotta, sometimes you just gotta reach out, you know?
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna do that. Now that you talk me into it. Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, man, dude, this, we can go all over the place with this, man. But I want to take a little time to thank you.
Okay.
All right? Mm-hmm. Because yesterday I took a trip.
Oh.
I took a trip down to Chicago, man. Had to take care of some business down there, man. Mm. But so I'm down there. My buddy drove down. I'm with and I'm just like, man, I'm freaking hungry. Mm. And he's like, dude, I'm starving. And like initially, my favorite spot in Chicago is this Korean barbecue spot called Do Eat. Right? Okay. But because of the pandemic, Korean barbecue is
not the thing.
It's not the thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, man, I'm freaking hungry. And then it came to me. I was like, bro, mm-hmm. I'm in Chicago right now. I need some Harold's.
I need some chicken.
So I hit my, mm-hmm. I asked my guy, I was like, bro, have you ever had Harold's before? Mm-hmm. And he was like, no, I've heard about it. But he's like, that's like a world famous chicken, right? Or something. Mm-hmm. I'm like, bro. Yeah, man.
the mild sauce
is not a joke. I was like, bro. Because he was trying to bring us to like some, it was like an authentic Mexican restaurant, which is cool or whatever. Like we pull up and I'm sitting outside and I'm like, bro, I don't want this, dude. Like I just knew, my soul knew. It was like, you don't want this Mexican food right now. You're in Chicago right now, Corey. You know what you want. I was like, bro, all right, so we hit up the West Side. Mm-hmm. We went to Wicker Park.
Okay.
And we hit up Harold's on the West Side. It was the closest one. Okay. Trust me, I'm not afraid to go to the South Side.
I know.
My experience on the South Side was right. exquisite.
Right.
So it's please believe that I would have went to the South Side.
Right.
But it was close. Like it was the closest one.
Right.
3.5 stars. All right, for sure. We're gonna go there. I'm glad that when we got there, it felt like Harold's. It wasn't like, okay, we're on the, you know, this is where, you know, the hipsters are. We're gonna change the aesthetic. No, yeah. I walked in and I was like, oh yeah, no, this is Harold's. This is Harold's.
Right.
The glass isn't there. Mm-hmm. Well, we're in Harold's.
Right, I get it. So this is a Harold's that you can sit down and eat
it. Yeah. No. What you talking about? You can't sit down and eat.
Okay.
You can stand up and wait, bro.
Okay.
And like the dude, bro, it is so like. The experience is so great. People will be like, this is horrible, right? But if you know, if you're like of the culture,
yes.
Like I went in, right? My guy ordered first, right? He got the chicken sandwich. They were like 25 minute wait, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, okay. Mm-hmm. To me, I'm like, oh, right? I go up, I order, you know, I got a chicken sandwich too because it was new.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, let me get the chicken sandwich, throw the mild sauce on the chicken sandwich.
Of course.
On the sandwich, we need that. But let me get a two-piece, too, because I'm not about to go to Harold's and have a chicken sandwich. And like, I need some real chicken, too.
Right.
Mild sauce. Throw the mild sauce on that, too, with the fries and the bread.
Did they throw the bread? Oh, yes, they had the bread at the bottom. Yeah,
bread on the bottom. The bread on the bottom, you know what I'm saying? So, like, bro, it was just thank you for putting me on. Because literally, bro, like, it was amazing, bro. It was just good. I was like, yes, this is what, like, my friend, he was like, bro, thank you. He was like, thanks for bringing this. He was like, I would have never thought about it. I was like, bro, you have to go to Harold's, man. Like, man. We need one up here, low key.
Man, I don't think they will ever bring it.
There's one in L.A., though.
Is there?
Yeah, I heard I'm pretty sure they opened one up in L.A.
Oh, well, then they need to go ahead and do that, bro. I would stay at Harold's, man. That was, dude, Harold's is just the flavor of my childhood, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, my grandma, it was, you know, if we ate out, it was always a treat, right? You know what I'm saying? We don't come from money. So if she ever went out to get anything, it was one of four places, I believe. It would be Harold's, you know, always down for Harold's. She would go over to the Hunnets, we call it. It was, I believe, 111th and Vincennes in Chicago. She would go to I-57 to get barbecue, right? So Before I explain that, Chicago has a certain taste of sauce, right? So you tasted that mild sauce, and it has that sweet, but you know what I'm saying, flavor to it. It's not spicy. I don't know why they call it mild sauce, because it's not spicy at all, or not even a remotely kind of spicy. But go imagine that on rib tips, right? You know what I'm saying? So she always took us to this place called I-57 Barbecue. Used to get a bucket of tips, man, with the fries. That's the thing with Chicago, too. The fries come saucy. You got to eat them with a fork. Or we would get a hoagie. I don't remember the name of the place. She'll go get a hoagie. I get a sweet steak sandwich.
Mm.
Fire. Or she would take us to Manchin's and get a steak. Mm. You know what I mean? Those are the four places. If we ever ate out, that's where we're going. That's it. Other than that, she was just cooking that soul food day. You know what I mean? But, yeah, Harold's is a big piece of my childhood, bro, for sure. Like, and when you came down, I was like, because obviously I lived in Wisconsin at the time, and when you came down to Chicago, I think you came to Chicago with me a couple times, right?
Yeah.
You went with we went to my dad's house for the Super Bowl, and then
when the Packers won the Super Bowl.
Right. Was that when they won?
Yeah, bro, that was 10 years ago, bro. That was 10 years ago, bro.
Did they play the Steelers?
I'm pretty sure it was the Steelers.
Was it?
Yeah, bro. XLV.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, we was in Lanier Senior basement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with that, all the Kappa stuff, the Kappas came through.
Yeah.
That was the first time I had like my like first like black frat experience.
Yeah, for the people who don't know, my pops is really heavy into the Kappas. You know what I mean? So he's definitely Western Illinois University. So if Lanier Senior here it is, I shot you out, pop. So it was that time. The other time, I forgot, we probably just went to my grandma's house or something.
Mm-hmm. We went through, we visited, made sure she was cool. She brought us out to Harold's.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was just a sweet lady, bro.
Yeah,
like,
she's doing good. You know, it's kind of unfortunate that we can't really go down there, because obviously, Chicago, I believe Illinois is on a lockdown again, and coronavirus, you know. I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about that subject soon. But, yeah, Yeah, Harold's is definitely a piece of my childhood, man. I'm glad I was able to share that with you, bro. Yeah. For real. For real.
Yeah, like, I literally, it's like a part of my soul. Like, I don't hit people up, like, randomly, usually. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
like, if I hit you up, it is for, like, a specific reason.
Word.
I hit you up just to be like, thank you.
Right. And I start laughing. My lady watching a movie and whatnot. And I start laughing. I'm like, yo, that's a picture of a... No, first you sent me the picture of the founder of their room. I'm like, bro, I'm like, dude's a legend. And then you sent me the picture of the chicken sandwich. I'm like, yeah, cuz really out in Harold's. Okay.
Yeah, man. I couldn't do it. I was like, there's no way I could be here and not hit Lanier. Like, he has to know. He put me on.
Facts,
you know. Bro. That's awesome. You know, I'm just trying to show my respect. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. I mean, speaking of putting on, bro, like, you know, back in the day, the things you put me on was like the hundreds.
Mm.
The clothing.
Yeah, people, I don't know. People kind of sleep on me, I think, when it comes to, like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
like,
he was definitely fresh, bro. Always.
I'm a little bit more under the radar now just because, like, I like being fresh. But I also like exclusivity, right? So yes, it's like...
You always have.
Like, I don't rock J's because, like, I could rock J's,
mm-hmm.
but I don't rock J's because, for one, everyone rocks J's.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, for two, I'm not a hooper. I never was a hooper. Always. So I'm, like, true to myself. So I'll rock, like, skate shoes. I wear, like, casual shoes now. Like, I'm rocking, like, these Adidas or whatever. They're Star Wars, though. I'm a nerd, though. So they're Star Wars Adidas. So I try to stay true to myself, but I also like being fresh. You know what I'm saying?
I definitely understand. I remember, I'm like, yo, what is that? What did you wear with that bomb on there? Like, I'm like, that's kind of fresh. Like, oh, it's the hundreds, bro. You know what I mean? So, I used to love that stuff, man. Yeah, you always had a certain type of style to you, bro, for sure. And as far as J's go, you know, I don't really rock many J's either, but I have the J's that meant something to me, right? Like the red 11s. Like, you know, I remember going to school, couldn't afford those to see the kids with them. So when I got old enough, I got some. No, you know what I'm saying? Or like the red 4s. I need those. Mm. You know what I mean? Or the 12s. But other than that, you know, I got my 3 pair of Jordans that really meant something to me because I remember just being a kid, man, and just, you know, having my busted felines and just seeing these kids with these fresh shoes on. And I say, when I'm able to get them, I'm going to get them. And I definitely got them. You know what I mean? But as far as, like, when it comes to, like, dressing, you know what I mean? To be honest, if I'm not at work, and if I ain't really got nowhere to be, you can catch me in a Nike sweatsuit.
Hey, I mean, sweatsuits are... Comfort is
key, bro.
Yeah, comfort is really key. I've been kind of, like... I mean, if I didn't have, like, stuff to be doing right now, I've been rocking sweatpants, bro.
Facts.
I've been kind of on the sweatsuit, sweatpants.
The joggers?
Like, the joggers or even just, like, the full, like, I got, like, this full primitive, like, tie-dye sweatsuit that I got. It's just comfortable.
Comfortable. But you can still be fresh.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
The way they stitch them, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You can get, like, a decent sweatsuit that'll still be good.
Fresh.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I ain't gonna go to the club in one.
You're right. But I could be chilling and, like, be comfortable and not feel like, oh, am I dressed down too much or something?
No, yeah. And then once you dress up a sweatsuit with the right kicks, you go.
Yes, sir.
Right? You just can't have no busted kicks.
Right.
You know, the kicks gotta be on point.
Right.
You feel me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but I do like to wear suits and stuff sometimes, though.
Mm, I've just recently dabbled with it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm still, like, I don't know. I'm still trying to, get over the hump with it.
Right.
But, I mean, shouts out to Mike Bjorns, Brett Bjorns.
Yeah.
Like, they, I got plugged with, you know, they bought me a suit. And then one of my followers bought me a suit. So, I mean, I got two suits. I wore them to some events, but, like, I got, I can mix and match kind of with them if I really wanted to or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm trying to dabble with it. I bought some sweaters and stuff, too. So,
okay.
I mean,
I'm a sweater king.
You know, so.
Yeah, like, bro, suits, man, it's something about, you know, getting up, you know, when you got an occasion to wear a suit, too. I just feel like my whole demeanor changes when I'm about to put on a suit, you know, like, yes, I'm dapper. Haircut, you know what I mean? Like, that's just, I mean, I don't wear one every day. Trust me, I ain't got the money to wear one every day. But I have two suits also. And when I need to put one on, it looks right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting accustomed to it, you know. And
I see you out here with the suit with the skater shoes on.
Yeah, you know, like I don't want to make it seem like I've changed. I mean, I haven't changed at all, you know. Like, I'm still the same old dude, you know, just because people are like, hey, come speak at my event, or, you know, like, I'm not going to
have the half cabs on.
You know, like, got to, you know. Yeah, like, I'm not that guy, you know. Like, we went out for lunch and stuff, and it's like, you know, you're like, don't mind me, you know, I had, you know, a little business situation that I had going on. And I was like, no, you know, I feel it, bro. And I was like, me too, bro, you know. I'm kind of refusing to conform for the most part, so I'm still going to rock. Plus, also, we got the merch, so.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to.
You're going to have to go ahead and give me one of those in a
3X, bro. Oh, yeah. We'll make it happen. I got you, bro.
Because a lot of companies, they forget about the big people. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Let me get fresh one time with the 3X.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing, too, about, like, the supplier that I'm working with. Like, we can make pretty much whatever happen, which is really, really cool. That's why I look forward to it. So, yeah, if you haven't picked up the merch, pick up the merch. We got a bunch of that.
And the prints look nice and clean.
Yeah, yeah. It comes out, really, really good. The equipment that they have is really nice.
Yeah, I could tell. It's because, like, you know, I've seen people get stuff printed, and it's just like, okay, you got a Gildan shirt, and you just...
No, that looks... this is 100% official. Yeah, and that's the cool thing, too. And, like, the lettering machine, we'll shout them out. The lettering machine, they've plugged a lot. They helped build a merch store for me online. Nice. They helped with ideas. I just reach out to, you know, one of their creative directors. They literally, what ideas that I have, they execute. Even if it's something that I, like, just randomly comes up to mind, like right now we're running a promotion for today. This will be out today, so you guys will see that. 10% off, right, of all of the merch. But then also I created bundles, right? They had never done bundles before. I just was like, bundles would be cool. You can, you know, discount merch, but then people can get more at a discounted price. It helps me because we get more merch out, but then also people save a little bit on the merchandise. Right. And then it's holiday time, you know, get a bundle. You got a few gifts for a few different people and stuff. Right. They had never done that, but they were able to execute, like, fantastically. Made banners for the webpage and all that stuff. So, nice. Super, super cool. Nice. I definitely recommend people, you know, especially if you're local, do business with them. I mean, they definitely helped me out a lot, so.
I wonder if they can make, like, a banner for, like, Lumiere Pole Photography or something.
Yeah, I mean, I would, so generally, like, they handle just the merchandise stuff, but depending on what goes on, they might be able to do that. I know they're, like, really, really busy right now. So it may have to be like merchandise incorporated, but I know they are definitely
looking. Business cards, do they do those?
I believe so.
Well, I'm just trying to support.
I think so. Yeah. I believe so. I don't want to say they do, but I know I'm pretty sure they do. Okay, they pretty much can print pretty much anything. I don't know if they do stickers or not, but
that'd be dope. It just, like, I'm sick of giving Vista Print my money.
I feel, you know what I mean?
Let's keep it local.
And it's cool, too, because they don't just do, like, the print, but they can do, like, embroidery, like, stitch stuff and all that stuff, too. Yeah, so, it's definitely a very, very good company to work with locally. And, like, that's been my whole thing. My whole thing is, like, I'm trying to keep this as local as possible, right? Yeah. I mean, we can, like, I will expand out and I will reach out to people outwards as well when it comes to, like, business stuff. Mm-hmm. But if I can keep everything centralized, that's best. Like, we're trying to continue to build the community here. Mm-hmm. But then also, access-wise, it's like, if I need something, I can go to the store. Like, I was in the shop earlier today, able to talk to them about stuff. Or if I just want to do it through email, I can do it that way, or phone call. Mm-hmm. But I have options, you know? Right. Or if I need to see something in person, I can just go there and see the live, you know, live example opposed to seeing it. Because even if you see it through a phone, the resolution on the phone, the color might not be 100%. So, right. Like, you have to see it with your eyes to actually know. Right. So when you're dealing with, like, materials and stuff, it's really... Yeah. Really nice to just be able to go to the place.
And Kenosha, man, Kenosha is just an awesome place, period, man. Like, you know, it has its ups and downs. It has its areas. But at the end of the day, it's some very, very talented people here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for real. Like, and there is, I feel like there's a business for everything that you need here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, I guess furthering your point is that, like, you know, I would like to stay local, too, when it comes to that. You know what I mean? Like, it's only good for the economy around here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, that's awesome that you're staying like that and, you know, not forgetting about Kenosha, per se, and just keeping it in the area. That's
I mean, it could, like, honestly, bro, just to be fair, it mm-hmm. would be incredibly easy for me to just be like, I'll just outsource everything to, like, whatever is the cheapest thing, mm-hmm. you know? And, like, I've considered stuff like that. I definitely have, because at the end of, like, I'm a businessman. So yeah, it's like, I have to consider all of my options and, mm-hmm. like, you know, how I can maximize revenue. But it's about, 10%. Yeah. To me, building the community is the most important thing, right? Like, making money, like, I make money. I could probably outsource to something else and probably make more money, mm-hmm. but that money is not going to be generated through the community. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you're dealing with a local business, right? For example, we'll just talk about, like, the holiday shirts that I put out, right? I'm having them manufactured by the lettering machine, which is local. Mm-hmm. And then the graphic, I went through this man named Donovan. He owns Studio Moonfall, and he's the artist.
Where is Studio Moonfall?
Right downtown as well. Do you know
so
where?
That's Kenosha also?
Yeah, Kenosha also. So Kenosha artists, mm-hmm. Kenosha manufacturer. Of course, they outsource to get their materials, but it's all manufactured here. They do the printing here, mm-hmm. you know, all of that here. And then me as basically, I guess, the facilitator or the distributor in a mm-hmm. way, mm-hmm. distributor. You know, it's all local. Mm-hmm. So the money is throwing through three different local hands before it goes anywhere else, you know?
And that's awesome.
And, like, I know for a fact, like, I'm reinvesting what I make in locally, and mm-hmm. I know they are as well. I know Donovan, he has his own coloring book that he's expanding in his own shop here, mm-hmm. that he's using that to expand there, which is expanding locally and expanding outward. Same thing with the lettering machine. Mm-hmm. They're working with all of the local businesses, schools, churches, whatever it may be, to help them with their merchandise and stuff as well. So mm-hmm. all of that is really just staying in the community and really just bubbling in the community. So it makes it easy for me to be like, I mean, maybe I can make a little bit more money. It probably wouldn't be like a crazy amount more of money, but I could probably make more money. But the mm-hmm. fact that staying in the community, it's going to help so many other people around me, and I'll actually be able to see the benefit of me spending my money opposed to sending it to Thailand or wherever China, it's going to, wherever it's going to go, where the government's just going to suck it all up and, you know, distribute out the way they're going to do. No, I'd rather deal with my people, you know?
Yeah, facts, man. Facts. The Kenosha community is definitely a good community. You know, like I said, just you have your some bad, you have your bad apples, and you have the people who will work shoulder to shoulder with you, man, and live the same life, and everybody has the same goal of wanting to better themselves. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I mean, even though I feel like, you know, the crime has increased a little bit, but where it doesn't, I mean, I'm from Chicago, it's not that big of a deal to me, but there, you still can raise a good family here, and you can still do the things that you want to do. So I guess further my point, man. I guess, you know, it's good that you're doing that. You know, because I mean, I serve the community as well with photos, right? Mm-hmm. I would say 85% of my clients live in Kenosha. Mm-hmm. So I mean, there's been Milwaukee, there's been Illinois, there's been other places, but 85% is the people from here that's helping circulate money in the community. So I appreciate that to y'all too, if y'all hear that.
Yeah, and it's like, and that's like the thing, you know. That's why, like, I deal with you too, because it's like, my, even if we weren't friends, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying, like, I would reach out to someone locally, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, because there's more than enough talent here.
It's a lot.
You just have to find what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. It's here if you look for it, you mm-hmm. know. But then you also want the community to thrive, you know, and then you want to help build the place where people want to be at, you know. Mm-hmm. For so long, like, I've seen people come and go, and go and never come back, or go for 10 years and now they're back, you know? And it's just like, we should just build a community where people will want to stay, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, of course you want to travel. I want to see, everyone wants to see the world, mm-hmm. but like, you have to live somewhere.
Okay.
So why would you live somewhere else?
So you don't think you'll ever move ever?
I don't know.
He said, I don't know.
I don't know. I really don't want to. Like, I don't know. I feel like if I reach the point, like, I always want a home here. So if I'm ever at the level where I can have two homes, then I'll move somewhere else because I'll still have a home here mm-hmm. that I can come to whenever.
Yeah. I kind of feel the same way. It was like, if I do end up ever moving away from Kenosha, I always still want to have something to come back to here. You know what I mean? I know I would never move back to Chicago. That's not happening. But Kenosha, man, it's just like one big family, man. Like, everyone knows everyone. Everyone knows each other's kids. And, like, that's a blessing, man. Because, you know, you can go to other cities and places and you wouldn't know nobody from out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I can literally go to the grocery store and say, how you doing, to three people I went to school with and still have that feeling. You know what I mean? So, you know, if I ever do leave here, just like you said, it will be something that I can come back to for sure. You know what I mean? It's, yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, the community makes it hard to leave forever.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And the food. let's be honest. I mean, like, there's not another Rhymes place somewhere. Let me put that on the board. Mm.
Yeah, true. I mean, it's the culture. Like, it's a very unique place to grow up and mm-hmm. be from, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the best of kind of like both worlds in a way. It's like, it's not really, really small. Definitely, we've called it Kenosha multiple thousands of times and mm-hmm. said there is nothing to do here plenty of times. But there's stuff to do, especially now. There's more and more things mm-hmm. to do here. And there's potential for more and more stuff to happen, for us to develop, mm-hmm. to happen here, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, it's one of those places where as long as we treat it right and we do what we need to do, then we can make it to what we want it to be, so we don't have to go somewhere else, you know?
Right. Are you happy that Kenosha didn't bring a casino here?
That's a good question. So initially when they were doing that, I was for it.
Mm-hmm.
Want to know why I was for it, though? Because there was going to be a venue there. Because mm-hmm. my thing always goes back to the arts.
Right.
If there's a venue at the casino, that means it's going to drive entertainment here.
Exactly.
If we drive entertainment here, entertainers are going to come here,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just going to grow more and more and more. And that's what I love. That's what I'm passionate about. I've always been involved in some form of entertainment somehow, mm-hmm. you know, whether it be like acting in high school or like making music or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it may be, some form of entertainment, or even just making like skate videos or stuff like that,
right.
you know, just
right.
entertainment has just always been my thing.
Yeah,
so same. Like, when I was like, oh, there's going to be a venue here. There's going to be a Hard Rock. Like, we'll have big concerts here. Like,
mm-hmm.
stuff will come. Like, things will go from that. There will be opportunities. People, mm-hmm. you know, more venues will pop up around that because they'll want to get to that venue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was for it for those reasons. I'm not like a gambler. I hate paying for stuff and I don't have anything guaranteed in return. Mm-hmm. Like, I would rather like just, even if I could win $1 million, if there's a 70% chance that I get nothing, I'm like, I don't even want to risk it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather just keep what I have and then like call it a day, you know, and mm-hmm. then I'll watch someone win and I'll be salty. But it's like, well, at least I still got what I got.
Because
with my luck, I'll lose it all.
Facts, bro. Facts. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, man. Like, I've definitely hit the blackjack table before. But
blackjack, you kind of can control it, kind of, with blackjack. At least mm-hmm. there's the facade of control with blackjack, mm-hmm. as long as the dealer's not screwing you.
You're right. You got to know when to get out. But as far as me, if I wanted to have the casino here, I mean, it'll be for some of the reasons that you said, and I'm just thinking about how many jobs it would have created.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side of that, you know, Kenosha has a lot of factories that created a lot of jobs also. Now, my thing was, you know, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, and this is what was in my head on why I kind of didn't want it to be here, mm-hmm. because I figured that it would have created poverty. Because, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is why I believe this, right? Because obviously you have that a Hard Rock Cafe is huge, right? Like, you know, putting it in like a Chicago and a New York, I understand. Mm-hmm. But I felt like that would have raised the cost of living like crazy. You know what I mean? And let's be honest, a lot of people don't have the education or have the ability to get, you know, a higher paying job sometimes.
So,
I mean, am I wrong?
No. So I feel like you are right.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
Okay.
So potentially, I feel like it could potentially increase the cost of living just because of the, it'll raise property value in the area. Mm-hmm. And then with that, you know, you have to be able to, you know, balance everything out somehow, right? But then also it's creating jobs.
It is creating jobs, yeah.
It would have created multiple jobs. I imagine a few hundred, if not maybe like 1,000 jobs or something, maybe. And then you have to think about like the trickle down jobs that come from it as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the contractors to build it, which would have taken probably a couple years. You know, stuff like that. New roads probably would have been built. So, you know, you have contracts for all of that.
Right.
Just, you know, all the infrastructure stuff. Probably with new pipelines. Probably would build like a hotel, you know.
Facts.
So there's like, there's a lot of jobs that could have come from it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now that doesn't happen. Right. Now we have a new development that we're going to be doing here that they're working on, which is just housing. Which is downtown, which is going to create jobs while they're building the facility.
Mm-hmm.
But then after they build the facility, then all of the jobs are gone. Then they just need people to move in.
Right.
So instead of having something that potentially could have created hundreds of jobs, multiple of hundreds of jobs, now we have something that is going to create jobs, you know, temporarily, and then people will move in and hopefully they bring their money with us. But the only way to gain from that would be to raise property taxes because you have to get the money from the people that are moving in.
Exactly.
Because they're not just going to, there's nothing to just randomly spend the money on because we don't have anything new to spend the money on. So they would just be spending the money on the stuff that we have here. Yeah, there's more people coming in theory. So in theory, we'll make more money, maybe.
Right.
But not making money like if you have something that's generating revenue and creating jobs and putting money in people's hands in an area where they could re-spend the money, you know?
Yeah, so let me ask you this. So all of these new buildings and stuff and condos that they're selling down here downtown, who do you think are buying those, right? Because I feel like, and this is just me, again, correct me if I'm wrong, I could be very wrong, people who is listening, please understand, I'm not saying that I'm 100% correct. Who do you think are buying those, right? Because I feel like, if a person that lives in Kenosha can afford to buy one of those condos down there, I feel like they will either build a house or have a house.
They either already have a house and want to sell the house and move into something that they don't have to take care of that much, which would be older people. But they just built senior living homes. There's one literally across from the yard, from the field where they're going to build the luxury high rises.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they have a whole facility for senior living. And then they also transformed the old St. Mary's or St. Catherine's Hospital on the north side by the lake into a senior living facility as well. So that's also a senior living facility. So this new structure, I imagine, they don't need a structure for senior citizens. They need a structure for people with money to move in there. So the only thing I can think of is people moving here. And people were moving here to work at Foxconn. But the whole Foxconn situation isn't working the way it is. So who's going to move into them? I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
It's the thing. So the purpose of building it, other than like... I mean, I'm not going to say that people, like, what people's motives are to build that. I mean, we could look historically and look at, like, places where they build these large, you know, these large housing units that, you know, people make money off of this, mm-hmm. and then people end up not moving into them, and then it ends up being either an eyesore or a burden on the community where we end up having to pay for it.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, and then people, like, you know, but, like, people are going to make money off of this, right? So who is it? It's not going to be the community. And I feel like these are the conversations that aren't being brought up. And then we have to talk about, like, timelines and all this stuff of when, like, things are actually going to take in place. People end up, like, in office and then out of office at certain times. And, like, my thing is, look at the convenience of everything. Like, I'm not trying to say anyone's doing anything nefarious. I don't know. For sure, like, mm-hmm. I would love to feel like no one is, but to me, as just a lifelong citizen, I've born and raised in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Facts.
I've seen the downtown when literally the only thing to go to was something different to now what it is now.
Right.
And then on top of that, there's been a pandemic all year. We don't know how long we're going to go into the next year of the pandemic. You know, I'm tapped in with business owners. Mm-hmm. A lot of these businesses down here are on their last leg. A lot of them maybe will close down and never reopen.
Which is sad. Yeah.
So if this happens, and some of the businesses that were thriving before the pandemic are now on their last leg, that may potentially close down. So if those close down, what's going to be the draw to the area? We're in such a volatile situation right now. To spend $400 million on a housing unit, it almost seems irresponsible because we literally don't know
what's
going to happen 6 months from now.
Exactly, and that's what my question is. So, like, if you, not saying that you don't have the money to move there, but if you had the means to move there as a resident, would you?
No, I would buy a house.
That's what I'm saying.
So the amount that the rent is going to be to live downtown, like, I live downtown already. Mm-hmm. My rent is not $3,500.
The rent's $3,500?
From what I've seen, the rent is going to be incredibly high. Let's say, like, the rent is, you live by Walmart, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rent over there is
$1,450.
That's not downtown.
That's not downtown.
Property value there is not as high as it is down here because this is the crown jewel of the city.
So that's what I'm saying.
So the rent is going to be incredibly high in terms of being a Kenoshan. Like, I've lived here my entire life. I've seen, like, rent, right? Mm-hmm. For the amount that it'll cost to live there, you may as well buy a house somewhere.
Bro, I'm thinking $3,500 a month, okay, you could have a $300,000, $400,000 home. Maybe even $500,000 home.
Good. Yeah. Say it's $2,000.
Right. And you know,
for a two-bedroom, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You could buy a house that you own.
And still not pay that.
Even if they're condos, it's like, yeah, but there's so much
variables that go to it.
Yeah, like, you can't do whatever you want to in a housing unit, regardless if it's a condo or whatever. Yeah. Like, there's red tape everywhere.
Bro, me and my lady is about to close on a beautiful home, and we only paying $200 more a month than we were for renting. You get what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And
you'll have a house.
And I'll have a house.
And you'll have space and a yard. Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
And, like, you won't hear someone above you or below you. Like,
that's what I'm saying. So who's going to pay $3,500 for that? And my thing is, this is my thing, right? I'm not on this podcast to say that I'm right at anything.
Right.
I'm just speaking my opinion.
Hey, we're citizens. We're just looking at the situation.
This is what's going through my head. If we knew Foxconn was about to draw out, why didn't we just stop? Right? So that's $400 million. Okay. we have potholes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Bro, every time I turn on my car, I have a heart attack because...
Yo, I saw someone driving a freaking Ferrari in Library Park. And I'm like, bro, they had Illinois plates. It was in the summer when all the people from Illinois were coming to the beach.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you definitely are not from here because you would have never driven that car here.
You about to bend them tins.
Yeah, you would never drive it here.
You know what I'm saying? So why didn't we just stop? It's okay. This is sometimes what I feel about politicians, right? They're too prideful to say something's not going to work and to just not and go back to the drawing board. They rather continue what their idea was because they don't want to give up their idea and excuse my language, fuck over everybody because they're not willing to say, you know what? My idea sucked. Okay.
Yeah.
Stop all production. Hey, whoever's swinging those hammers here, I'm going to break you some bread. I'm sorry, y'all, but maybe this isn't the smart thing to do because these people who we were depending on, not doing it anymore.
Right, right, right.
But instead, you continue to spend the $400 million. Mm. And now how are you going to fill those homes?
I mean, we'll find out. Maybe
we'll find out.
Maybe it won't happen. I mean, I believe there's still a chance that things could still kind of be reversed. Maybe not. I don't know.
I mean, they're there, aren't they?
Well,
kind of, sort of. Not
really. I mean, no, they still haven't broken the ground. They're still trying to like figure out all of the details and everything with it. But I mean, as far as I know, it seems like it's. I'm pretty sure it's going to be something that happens. But I don't know. Maybe it'll change. I don't know. There's a lot going on. So
it's okay to say I messed up.
I know, but
okay.
So the thing about accountability is you have to be able to be held accountable to take responsibility and to be accountable. If no one's going to hold you accountable, you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, you're right.
And if you're used to not being held accountable and you end up in a situation where people are trying to hold you accountable, then you'll visibly be able to tell, like, you're used to not being held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see these people in like press conferences and stuff, you can tell their body language is, oh man, I can't believe you're even talking to me like this right now because you're not supposed to be holding me accountable because no one holds me accountable, you know? And I'm not saying people do or don't do that, but all I'm saying is if you watch press conferences of some of these people, it kind of comes off like they are upset that you actually ask them questions about stuff. And it's like, if you didn't want to be asked questions, then you probably shouldn't have reached for a position of power because people in power have to answer questions a lot of the time.
Man, I'm pretty sure that we got so much more to talk about. because it's getting real now.
I mean, things have been rough, man. Like, it's been a crazy year, bro. Like,
it's been a crazy year.
I've seen a lot of stuff happen. You know, on camera and off camera, I've seen quite a bit of things happen. Like, some things that are like...
Let's talk about 2020, right? So, how big of a just a toss-up it was? It just like, you know, I'm going to toss up 2020 and then you're going to have a riot over here. You're going to have a Black Lives Matter over here. Yeah. You're going to have coronavirus right here.
You're going to have murder hornets. You're going to have... There's aliens, bro. There's a Galactic Federation of aliens, apparently.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, how do we expect to just keep going, right? I mean, man, 2020 was something. 2020 was something, bro.
Yeah.
It was
a tale of two cities, bro. It was the best of times, then it was the worst of times.
Yes. I accomplished a lot this year.
Charles Dickens knew what he was writing, bro.
Bro, I accomplished a lot this year, and I've seen a lot this year that I ain't never seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen a riot.
Yeah, firsthand.
Firsthand. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like,
light poles being knocked down in front of you, bro.
Dumpsters on fire. You get what I'm saying? Like, garbage trucks on fire. Courthouses almost on fire. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
Snipers on roofs.
Bro.
Fences erected around an entire block.
Could you imagine... Right.
Humvees on the road.
The only time I've ever seen a riot before 2020 was replays of the Watts riot. And to be sitting, and let's talk about this, right? So the first time all of the rioting started happening, I'm sitting on my couch, I'm watching your feed, right? And something just came into me and said, Lanier, you need to be down there, right? I didn't know what was telling me to do that. I don't know why I felt like that. My girl was at work, you know what I'm saying? The dog was just sitting here like, what are you gonna do? You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, you know what? I put my dog in the cage and made sure I gave her a treat. And I came down here. I had to see this firsthand because this is history. And bro, I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it, man. Like, I parked my car and I'm just looking at, you know, this picture and like, man, the city that I grew up in is on fire right now.
It's wild, bro. Like,
wild.
Yeah, like literally, bro. Like,
how did you feel? Because I know you saved the dinosaur, man. Like,
I had to, bro. My kids go to the dinosaur museum, bro. And shouts out to the history museum for the lifetime membership. That's what? A plug. That's yes. A plug. But, bro, like, all I remember. So when everything happened, bro, like, we're on 28th. Stuff just goes crazy at that time. Like, so many people from out of state had already shown up. A cop got hit with a brick.
I remember
like,
that.
They're destroying the cop cars and all this. So the sheriff's department and the cops, they get on a bus. They, like, flee. And then the crowd marched to the courthouse. So I'm like, all right, we're going to the courthouse. I'm with, you know, we're going to keep going. We get there. They got Racine Sheriff's Department was there with the riot gear on. They set up a line. People are yelling in their faces and all this stuff. Tear gas gets deployed. I get shot in my elbow. I'm freaking out, bro. And, like, I'm like, what is going on? All of this is just happening so fast. I got the spices in my nose. My arm is freaking... My arm is inflamed and freaking huge and bleeding. And I go out into the main street on the 56th. And they have the roads blocked off with garbage trucks. And I walk out, and it's like literally the crowd just left. Mm-hmm. But when I get out there, all of the garbage trucks are just on fire. And I'm like, oh, that was the moment I realized that, oh no, this is like I had got shot. I had been tear gassed already. And then all of the stuff is on fire. And I'm seeing ninjas running around with black masks and stuff. I'm like, nah, this is about to go down. So that's why I got more inquisitive. And that's why I was like, I was going up to like some of like the people wearing all black. Because like, yo, this happened today. This happened organically today. There wasn't people standing around wearing the same respirators all black. You know, when this happened.
Right.
Y'all just came out of nowhere. This is like
do y'all live here?
Yeah, and that was my whole thing about like asking them what they're doing and even getting involved with the dinosaur museum because it's like, yo, I don't know you guys. Y'all literally popped out of nowhere and you're all wearing the same stuff. You're working with each other and like helping each other. Like, it's sketchy, bro. This is sketchy for something to organically happen. The way that it was happening, so many outsiders to come in, and then so many people to be working together uniformly, the first day within hours, bro. Within 3 hours, you have a game plan. You know exactly what to do. You have tactics prepared and all. No, okay, bro, that is all sketchy, yeah, dude. Bro. And I will never stop saying that it was sketchy from day one. I don't care what people in the community say. Like, if you want to claim that was you and you were involved, for sure. Cool, you were involved and you helped destroy the community. You were a scumbag. I would hope that someone that was a member of the community wouldn't be involved in something like that, especially when we're really trying to get real concessions and make a real change. You know what I'm saying?
Give me the facts, bro. Facts.
But generally what I hear and what I gather and what I've seen is a bunch of people that no one freaking knows popping up.
How did it happen so fast?
Because there's the internet. There's networks, bro.
So they just...
There was literally... Minnesota's not that far. We had streamers come from that were here that night that came from Minnesota. That came from the Twin Cities and were here the same night.
Yeah, already could have called a plane. Got here in 45 minutes.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not that far in the grand scheme of things.
It was on a national scale.
It was global.
Global, yeah.
All over. I had people... I did interviews with people from France, Japan, Germany, like all over, bro. Like, crazy. It was global.
Craziness. Global. Man. And then Uptown got burned. And then, you know, and for 2 or 3 days, I came out there. The first time I left for early, I'm like, all right, this is crazy. The next day I went out there and just to, you know, obviously I didn't touch anything, right? I just wanted to see what was really going on. You know what I mean? Obviously, it's not in my character to destroy anything or set anything on fire. Mm. Let that be known.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see what was going on, right? And just to see there's so many angry people out of nowhere. It's like, this shit was built up.
Mm.
I felt like people took this opportunity just to release whatever anger that they had, bro.
It's been a weird year, bro. Like, yes. People have been locked down. Like, it was honestly, like, of course. Of course, like, you've been locked in your house. You may have been laid off from your job. You may have been laid off in the worst possible way ever. You also might be broke. You also might be hungry. You also might have children.
Man,
you know, like,
yeah.
I'm not ruling out any of that. You know, like, there's ways to justify what took place. Although there's no real justification, because at the end of the day, you destroy things, mm-hmm. but there's always a cause and effect. And I'm not ruling that out at all, mm-hmm. ever, because I mean, I'm from here. I know how things go. Mm-hmm. I was like, but it's a community thing, right? It's so much of the Kenosha situation was turned into a white to black thing, right?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah. Opposed to it being like, Kenosha has dealt with police, we'll call it police corruption, misconduct, whatever you want. Kenosha has been dealing with the police and not necessarily trusting the police for quite some time. It's at least as far back as Michael Bell, and I was a 10th grader. That would have been 2005,
mm-hmm.
you know, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So at least for 15 years, and we all know that it's been longer than 15 years.
Absolutely.
People have known that there has been an issue with the police and the community. And Michael Bell was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white man.
Mm-hmm.
Young white man. Someone will call him a boy. I'm going to give him his respect and call him a white man.
Mm-hmm.
Killed by police. And then they also, you know, try to justify it. And then you see the reenactments and all this stuff. It's like, I don't know if you can really justify it. But, you know, so there's that history that lingers with people. Like, I haven't forgotten that. I was a kid. I was in, like, super young. I'm old enough to remember that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm old enough to be cautious every time I encounter the police. And then I also have my own life experience that goes in with that, too.
Facts.
And then other experiences that are even outside of Kenosha that reinforce my ideals on Kenosha, because people outside of the community recognize it as well, you know?
So to put it on a little dapper into what we're talking about, I'm going to have to say this. What are the requirements to become a police officer?
You go to, what, like,
Gateway or something? Yeah, 2 years?
Something like that, right? Yeah, I don't know.
Right. And you get your degree, and you could become a cop, right? So we'll call it 4 years that you go get your degree,
mm-hmm.
you become a cop, you take, you know, these simulation programs, and, you know, you get your badge, you go to police academy.
Mm-hmm.
How come that is not more in depth, right? Everyone, you can't give everyone a gun.
So
you can't, bro.
So why it's not more in depth?
Right.
So to be the play devil's advocate, I suppose, or to be fair to the situation, they need police. And it's hard to get police because it's not a good job.
So,
and most people don't want to be cops. So as a restaurant manager, right?
Yeah.
At the beginning, my threshold to hire people was... My threshold initially was like, are you good? Will you be able to successfully do this? And as more and more people failed, the threshold got smaller and smaller because I just need people to fill the spot.
Right, we call them warm bodies, right?
Right.
We hire them to get through
right,
the situation.
Right, so, yeah. So it's like, I feel like we're in a situation with warm bodies in the police where we need police, but... I mean, smart people, not saying that there aren't smart police officers.
Yeah, that's great.
Generally, though, like, Elon Musk isn't a cop. Elon Musk is a billionaire businessman that had an idea and doubled down on his idea and was able to create something incredible from it.
I might sound dumb, but who's Elon Musk?
Tesla, bro.
Tesla, okay.
Tesla,
okay.
SpaceX. Okay. The guy that makes the rockets.
Put me on game.
Elon Musk is a gem to our society and must be saved at all costs.
Thank you for giving me that information.
Yeah, no problem, man. Yeah.
It's okay to put those people who... But my thing is, then maybe the trainer should be more intensive, right? Why don't you just send them to basic training?
But if you do that and then they're gonna quit, then you waste money and you waste time. For example, someone we both know, Mike. Did you see his recent post on Facebook about how he's going back to the military?
No, Mike who?
Mickelson.
Oh no.
So. I mean, I don't know if it's, this is just what I saw on the internet. Maybe he changed his mind or something. Mm-hmm. But I saw a post where he was saying he's decided, maybe he was joking. I don't know. Maybe it was a meme. Mm-hmm. But he was saying that he was going to go, he thought long and hard, and that for his career, he's going to go back to the military. And he was a cop before. So, like, if you were a cop... What about being a cop would drive you to go back to the military? Back to potentially war, bro. Like, it could be the individual, but, like...
Under the impression that he was, like, a public service officer. I didn't know that he was an actual KP.
I mean, regardless of, like, it's all kind of under the same umbrella, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you have to, true. Like, yeah. See, you know? So it's like, why would you... decide to go back to maybe the threshold for him to get to the point where he wanted to be may have been too difficult for a situation or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I can't speak on that, but what is it that would make you go back? I mean, there's structure in the military too.
Exactly.
So
that's what I'm saying.
Is it better structure? Facts.
Like, absolutely. Mm. I mean, I would think that the military is way better structured than the police department is. Mm. And that's, I feel like if someone who gets out of the military to become a civilian police officer, they probably seek that same structure. Mm. And then when they get here, they don't have it. So that's why I'm saying, why not send cops who want to be cops to basic training with a person who's going into the army? Mm. Right, because they have MPs in the military. They have military police.
Right.
Put them through that program. Mm. You get what I'm saying? Because right now, what I think is happening, people are going to Gateway, right? They're getting their chest pumped up, and then when some real shit happens, they don't know how to interact with it. Mm. You get what I'm saying? I can put on the uniform. I can shine up my shoes. I can get into my car. Mm. But if I've never been or received the proper training to just to determine if someone's reaching for a weapon or reaching for their wallet, there's an issue. And then if there's a real life situation that's happening when you really got to use your pistol, are you really about that life to use it? And are you going to use it accurately? Are you going to use it with the right mind frame? Or are you just going to pull it and start busting?
I mean, that's a fair question, man.
That's a fair question, right? Yeah. So why not send those people who train our soldiers? Mm. Because I would think, and I could be wrong, right? I would think a soldier, based off the way that they are trained, would know when it's time to get down, they're getting down in the proper way. Not getting down because, you know, I'm walking to my car too fast and I seem to be reaching for something.
Yeah, well, then they also get held accountable, too. So I'm pretty sure, now correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure people will,
of course.
In the military, like, the rules of engagement are completely different as well. You can't just bust at someone because you feel threatened. Like, you have to, like, you have to literally, your life has to be in danger. Like, they're shooting at you so you can fight.
Imminent threat.
Yeah.
Me, as a person who carries a weapon, right, I'm completely licensed, right, I have to be in an imminent threat situation. I can't shoot someone in the back. Because in what I was taught in, you know, my concealed carry classes, the threat has de-escalated itself. It turned, that person turned their back to me, I can no longer engage. So why is the officer able to?
That's a, ooh, well,
and also,
I mean, that's a good question that, for a case that will be coming up soon.
Facts, right? And then on the flip side of it, okay, if I was the officer, excuse my language, I would be pissed at my partner, right? Because from what I've seen, this man walked all the way around the car. He walked past a line, he walked past an officer to his car. Why wasn't he tackled to the ground by me and my partner handled business to contain him before he went to his car? Goes to show
they didn't really
the wrong like person that. Was in the wrong situation.
Yeah.
That is facts, bro.
I mean, I'm not going to argue with that because, I mean, from the video that I saw, he had his shirt, he held had his shirt held from behind. And then shot him.
We're not dealing with kids. We're not pulling his shirt and saying, "You get the hell here." I am a police officer. I am enforcing the law.
Yeah, to a grown person, a grown man.
Right. Yeah. My partner, you get high, I get low. We taking his ass to the ground. Right. Period. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just like me and you. If we go to the bar, you know what I mean, and we're having a good time, and you know we don't cause any trouble, right? But by any means, we're going to protect ourselves, and I'm going to protect the person that I'm with, right? So if I see that you're getting into an instance, and someone was coming after you, which I know I would never be in a situation, but we're just speaking on it, just to speak on it, I'm going to make sure I contain that person until you're able to come help me. Why didn't the cop do that?
It's a good question.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, the train is not there. The training is not there because in the military, they teach you how to take down a person without using a gun, right? They'll teach you how to jab someone in the joints, hit someone in the throat, whatever, right? I would rather see that man get Rodney King and get beat with a stick because he ain't complying than get shot seven times. And I'm not saying that he's right in any means.
It's just situational.
You broke the law, you should...
Right. I mean, clearly it's just you have a situation. The police are there. The police are going to always do what they feel like they need to do anyways. Like, regardless if we feel like it's okay or not, like, that's that's what's going to happen. Exactly. Like, we all know that's what, like, if you've dealt with police or you've seen police dealings, like, or you're someone that's like an OTO, like an obey the law person. Like, you see the cops, they're engaged in whatever they're doing. They're going to do what they're going to do. You can interfere if you want to, but it's not going to end good. You know what I'm saying? So it's like...
That cop wasn't... My consensus on this, that cop wasn't about that life.
No. Like,
he wasn't about that life. Because real men who are about that life would have slammed his ass to the ground.
Yeah, I mean...
And, like, picked him up and slammed his
like,
ass to
we,
the ground.
I mean, and I'm not going to say we've all dealt with police that are like that dude, that are like trying to like, well, try to rough you up, but it's like generally like... I've dealt with police that are like, they'll be cool, but they're like, yo, like,
listen,
otherwise I'll have to flex you, you know?
Right,
like,
flex
and
them.
It's like, yo, and it's like, to a certain extent, like, I don't like necessarily that energy because I don't give off that energy because I like, but also, like, if you're in that position, I would rather deal with that than
get shot seven times.
Yeah, by someone that's scared or whatever the reasoning was. Maybe he was completely frightened in the situation. I don't.
So why is he a cop?
Exactly. That's the thing. We need the answers. Like, you just have to be truthful in the situation. It's like, just tell the truth, bro. Like, fortunately, no one is dead. Fortunately, no one is dead. Yes, a man is paralyzed. Yes, the situation is a horrible, horrendous situation that should have never happened. But the man is still alive, so let's act accordingly and let's not be too, let's just let it get done. Luckily, like, we're not burying someone.
That's the truth, because I feel like a lot of things would have been a lot worse. But I just see You know, and I'm not against police officers at all. And let it be known, I would never give a police officer a reason to try to flex me. Right?
Give them the chance to hold themselves accountable.
But there has to be some accountability, right? Because if I was to shoot someone in the back 7 times, I would have been gone, bro. It would have been free Lanier shirts everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. You probably wouldn't have gotten locked up. They would have, arrived on the scene and, like,
laid it down.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? All I'm saying is, put these men through what the military goes through or something similar. You know what I'm saying? Because they're not doing what they're supposed to do, bro. And, it's horrible. It's horrible, bro. Like, he didn't deserve to get shot 7 times. I don't think that dude should have been there, been a cop. You too jittery for me, man.
Yeah, I don't get that. That's the thing, too. It's like, we're trying to build trust, right? Mm-hmm. If you have someone jittery shooting people in the back 7 times, me as, like, a regular law-abiding citizen, given like other instances in my life that I've dealt with police,
bro, we've been pulled over
that don't need to even be negative, but have been for no reason.
Exactly.
Like, it's just like, I'm sorry, I just don't trust it. Like, yo, like I live downtown,
mm-hmm.
and my office is down here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't drive that often.
No, you skate.
Everybody I skate.
Yeah.
You want to know why? Because I'm not trapped on a skateboard. If I'm driving, I'm literally trapped in my car.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like high-speed chase or whatever happens. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? I'm not a criminal. I'm not doing anything where I should feel like I shouldn't just be able to drive willy-nilly wherever I want to and just...
Mm-hmm.
But I, like, there's a fear that's like, I've been in situations where it's like, yo, I don't want to be trapped in my car and just like randomly have who knows happen to me and no one believe what's going on or me just being whatever happened. And it's like, people know me. Like, you guys know me. Like, I'm a good person.
Me too. But the fact that two good people have to, because I don't know about you, bro. I know obviously I drive more than you because again, you just said you don't drive that much. I drive a lot, right? The first thing I do is, because I'm already know I'm getting into this car black. That's just facts, right? And if people who watch this or listen to this, they can try to deny it all they want to, but you truly would not understand until you understand wearing this skin comes with a consequence. Facts. The first thing I have to do when I get into my car is put my wallet on. Why? Just in case I get pulled over, I'm not making any subtle moves. The cops can see that my wallet is right there and they can see where my hand is going. Most people don't have to get into their car thinking about that they have to do that.
Bro, I've been in...
You get what I'm saying?
I've been in cars with people that should not be driving vehicles. I've been like... I'll just be real, bro. When I was younger, I've ridden with people that had things on them
mm-hmm.
that I'm like, yo... Why didn't you tell me before I got in the car, bro? And they're just like, what are you talking about? Everything's going to be all like, yo, bro. Like, no, it's not, dude.
Mm-hmm.
No, maybe for you it'll be okay.
It's okay.
But no, bro. I don't want to be anywhere near none of this, bro.
Can I ask a question? What was the race of those people that was riding?
What do you, take a
guess. We don't have to put that on. We don't have to put that on camera. And let it be known
It wasn't my brother, I will say that. And,
But
most of, like, a good portion, most of, like, my friends are white people.
Yeah, me too.
So, it is what it is.
Lanier kick it with everybody.
I function with whoever I function with.
Me too.
I just, like...
And I don't see color.
I just have to... I have to act accordingly based off situations.
Facts. Me at a young age too. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, y'all doing that? Well, I ain't doing this. I ain't doing this. Just because, for one, I'm a black boy. I'm a black man, right? I can't get away with that. I can't get away with that because there's not going to be hearing me out.
Right. And even if I do get away with it, I'm not going to get away with it twice.
Yeah, I'm definitely not doing it again.
Right.
Oh, so I got pulled over and got away with this? Okay, yeah. So next time I get into your car, bro, you need to disclose whatever you got on you. Because not happening.
Yeah, and you're definitely not riding with me with nothing.
Right.
Because if I'm driving, then that's on me.
Facts.
And I would love to take your word that you'll say it's yours, but
put someone in that situation. Yeah,
you know, and it's just like, and that's the world that we live in. But that's why I keep friends like you.
Right.
And you know, I stay low key. I don't do anything crazy, bro. Like, I'm just out here trying to live my life, you know? So,
same. You get me, dude. Like, I don't do anything wrong at all, right? I'm a hardworking man. I don't take from no one. I earn every cent I have. You know, everything that I have, I bought. You know what I'm saying? With my hard earned money. So, people who's listening to this podcast and thinking that, you know, that's not agreeing with what we're saying. Is you have to understand that there's a difference. And the sooner we come to that conclusion, better off we'll be.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even necessarily a bad thing. Everybody's different, you know? People have different cultures. Everything, like, it is what it is, man. Like, it's foolish to assume that everyone can be exactly the same. That is
foolish.
It's never going to happen.
No.
So it's like, it's not far-fetched for someone that physically appears to be different from you to have a different outlook in our, you know, like it's, of course, people are different. Things are going to be different. Cultures are going to be different. How people grow up are going to be different. How people interact with things are going to be different, right? You might not like cats because you don't like the way cats look. It's not that you necessarily hate cats. You're just kind of apprehensive around cats because it's like, dude, it's, you know, you're kind of agile. You make these noises and stuff like that. Until I'm comfortable around a cat or I get a cat or something or I have a friend that's a cat, I might just not really rock with cats like that, you know? And that's kind of, that's the world. We have to realize, like, we're not always going to be familiar with other people or other things.
So when do you feel like the world, what, everyone was on the same page? Do you feel like you
learned that? When everyone was on the same page? Yeah, never.
Never? Yeah. I wouldn't say never. I think... This is just me.
Okay.
I think after 9/11, the world came together.
No.
You don't think so?
No. Right, no. After 9/11?
I feel like people was like, everybody went through the same thing.
No. There is a large Muslim community in the United
States. Yeah, I forgot all about that.
That definitely was I'm not even freaking from Afghanistan. You know?
I forgot all about that. Dude.
I'm not Iraqi. Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11.
Let me rephrase my question. Do you think it's possible? Do you think that we can all just get along and people just see where each other comes from, and we could just be one big happy family.
Yeah, after the singularity.
Mm-hmm.
The singularity. Let me get all sci-fi for everybody. When people merge with machines and everybody is as smart as a computer, because that, in my opinion, only having the highest level of intelligence will allow everyone to recognize how, like, minuscule, slight differences in people are. You know? Like, when you're able to do,
this
like...
This is why I love having conversations with you, because you just brought out a complete nerd aspect of this, and I love it.
Always, bro. Always, bro. Because, like, if everyone has access to all knowledge, and we're talking, like, quantum computing, so you're just, like, you just... No, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever stuff happens, things change. Everybody just instantly has the new update. Everybody's on the same wavelength. Even though people's skin and things may look different, everybody has the same information.
It's basically like cyberpunk. I'm just kidding.
So even then, that kind of makes me think, like, maybe not. Because even in the world of cyberpunk, like, everybody doesn't have all of the information because you have to... I mean, I suppose it would be like a top-down thing. As long as the people on the top are okay with everybody on the bottom being equal to them, which will probably never happen.
You're right, man. I just hate it has to be like that, man.
I mean, it doesn't have to be, but that's just not. That's you know, being a human.
That's how the universe works. Mm-hmm. Sucks, dude. That sucks.
That's why we have to just work together, get technology that can send us to the stars, and then you find a giant group of people, you get together, you go colonize a planet together.
Wow.
I mean, eventually you guys won't get along, but at least it started in the spot where you thought it should have been, you know? But yeah, that's the way I see it is the human purpose is to just, I mean, to just populate the universe, to just grow and grow and expand and expand. It's either that or become nothing. But if once we become nothing, the universe becomes nothing. Because whose consciousness will perceive it? Boom. But yeah, man, we've been doing this for about an hour and a half, so I think it's about time to end, but
damn.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice,
this
bro.
This is the longest podcast that I've done so far, and like initially, like I want them to be longer, so I mean, this is a good start. We definitely got to have you back on sometime soon, bro.
Yeah.
But man, Lanier Cole Photography. You want to shout out any like your social links or anything like that?
Well, so you know, reach me on Facebook, Lanier Cole Photography. That's how it goes. You can inbox me, or you can send me a text 262-484-7569. Just can't believe I gave the world my phone number, but that's not gonna happen, people.
Be careful, man. He does not need an extended warranty on his vehicle. Just so you
know. Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that.
But man, yeah. Lanier, thank you so much for coming in, bro. You're the first person in the new studio, so yes. Thanks for helping me break it in, man.
Man, just one more thing for the record. Like, my homie got an office, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's huge, you know? Just, man, support your friends, man. That's all it's about, right? I'm here sitting down with this man at the beginning stages of something, and just understand, this is how Amazon started at one point.
Yeah. There you have it, man.
that's just take it on with that. Yep. You know what I mean? There was just an office where it started, and now Jeff Bezos is a billionaire.
So, yeah, I'm not necessarily trying to lasso asteroids at all to mine them for precious materials, but I would like, I mean, maybe to be like, I don't know, part investor in like a space hotel or something like that. So, you know, so holler at your boy. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Oh Word with Corey Elijah. Make sure you guys stop by CoreyElijah.com. We have a bunch new holiday merch out there for you guys. Use promo code Corey10 to get 10% off all of your purchases. But until next time, Lanier, thanks so much, man.
Thank you for having me.
We will catch you guys in the next one.
Peace.
Peace.
We've barely been